it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hockey News on the E podcast. I'm Jacob Stoller alongside Justin Cohen from the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette. Justin, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jake?
Pretty good, all things considered. I feel like I'm getting kind of sick, but we'll see. I guess I'm like on the short-term IR. Who knows? Maybe I caught yours, whatever you had a couple weeks ago virtually.
You know, the hockey writer illness is supposed to be a little bit easy, a little bit earlier in the season, you know, not so much in mid-February.
Yeah, but, exactly. But
I do remember when I first started, and this was way back before you were even a glint in anybody's eyes. This was 1997, and I showed up for my first practice, and all the writers kind of looked at me and started laughing, and they were like, "Welcome to the eight-month cold," I think is what they said.
Eight-month cold.
Yes, because you're going to morning skates. I mean, and they were right. It's really been more like a 25-year cold.
Right.
But they were really on to something.
Serious question, though. Okay, I just realized this like a couple days ago, and I really thought about it. When you like interview a guy at morning skate after, do you shake their hand?
I sometimes do.
I have to be honest, I do, and I really regret it now.
What do you mean? Like, just because you feel gross?
Yeah, like, kind of. Like, I feel like after the last 2 years, I should have more awareness. Like, that sounds so silly, but it's ridiculous. No, sorry, it doesn't sound silly. It's so silly, the fact that I shook their hand.
Well, it bothered me pre-pandemic, because then your hand smells like the inside of a hockey glove.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was better prepared for the pandemic than most people, because that was one of the big reasons that I was always carrying big bottles of hand sanitizer with me, was to get that glove smell out. So
do you shake their hand though after? Like, is that your, like, is that customary? Because I don't know, like, I interviewed Justin Barron on the Canadiens on Saturday, and like, I'm not feeling that great. Maybe he has a cold. Should I send a freedom of information request?
Well, I feel like now you have a built-in excuse. All of us who are maybe germaphobes now have a built-in excuse to just be like, you know, elbow bump or whatever they're doing now. But I usually just read the situation. If a player looks like he's going to extend his hand, thanks for the great conversation, I do it. It's polite. It's gentlemanly, all those things. But I definitely have hand sanitizer. But do I initiate? Usually I do not.
Yeah, I got to stop initiating that. I don't even know why I do it, because most of the time they probably don't want to shake my hand.
Well, you know, somebody told me something. I don't know if this fits the situation, but, you know, a lot of these teams, like, they are healthier than a lot of us are now, because if there's any question, you know, they're testing guys, even to this, you know, even at this stage, you know, they're testing guys, they're staying stay home because they don't want to get the whole team sick. So there's an argument to be made that in a lot of ways they're being more careful than we are now.
There's an argument to me that I should be shaking every hand. You're right. I should shake their sweaty hands.
Yes.
Speaking of the Canadians and more so the NHL, that's an interesting segue. But last night we had an awesome NHL debut in Kevin Mandelis, who saw 46 saves in what would be his first NHL win. And Kevin Mandelis played in the ECHL this year. He actually played 6 games with the Allen Americans. He started the year in the AHL with Belleville, went down to Allen. I think it was in November. Came back up, did decent, and then out of, you know, circumstance, Anton Forsberg on the Senators tore both his MCLs a couple days ago. Mandelis comes up and quite the debut. An awesome story. And I think we get, you know, one of these once every year sort of thing. Goalie comes up the ranks, has a great debut. ECHL / AHL lifer. Michael Hauser, remember, was pretty recently as well. I want to ask you, when you look at the Kevin Mandelis story from first glance, Justin, is it a testament to A, how weird goaltending is, B, people overlooking Mandelis, C, the quality of the goalies that come through the ECHL? Like, maybe we're underrating them as a whole.
I think it's probably two out of those three. You know, first off, and we've talked about it before, the goaltending is strong in the ECHL.
Right.
If there is a depth position throughout hockey, it's goaltending, because there's limited available spots. So you know that the fifth guy on your NHL team's depth chart, which is probably a guy that the team actually believes in, he right. could be at the ECHL level. So that's why you see these quality guys, and you've mentioned Michael Hauser, a guy that I covered for a long time, you know, being able to ascend to the NHL during the pandemic and do pretty well. It doesn't shock me. You know, these are the guys that are the big prospects that we find at this level. And, you know, I don't know that I would say that people missed him. I mean, this is a guy that has spent most of his pro career in the AHL, you know, just kind of depth positions and wanting to get him some playing time, lands him in Allen for a little bit. And I think the most of his playing time with Allen was in December. But, you know, it doesn't shock me. You know, I just think there's a lot of quality goaltenders. And as we've touched on with this show, you know, teams, even at the ECHL level, you know, sometimes they can forget a little bit about the forwards and the defensemen, but the goalies down there, they send their goalie coaches to work with them. You know, they definitely keep an eye on them. They are concerned about the amount of playing time, the high leverage situations that they get in. You know, I think there really is an eye from the NHL level to make sure they keep a good watch on the goalies that maybe doesn't always extend to the defensemen and the forwards. So I think this is a good example of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think too, like, didn't we talk last episode about if the ECHL was too hard on prospects? I know it was for Kosa, but I think this is another example of how it's beneficial, right? He's a guy that wasn't getting playing time in the AHL at certain times, goes down, puts a 927 save percentage in six games for Allen, comes back up, plays a lot better hockey from that point, like after the call-up to now, which is when he was needed for an NHL game, and I'm sure that was a big part of it, right? Getting those reps.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you got to keep in mind is sometimes people, you know, they pull up, you know, Hockey DB or Elite Prospects or whatever, and they look at the stats, and they're like, well, this guy, you know, he's in the ECHL, and he had an 880 save percentage, and he's won one game. Like, this is a major Cinderella story, but you can't always read into the stats when it comes to the goalies, especially at this level. I mean, depends on the team, depends on the shooters, depends on so many different things. You know, Ryan Fanti is an Edmonton Oilers prospect who's down with Fort Wayne. He played 3-3 nights last weekend. He's been playing a bunch of games. I mean, it's crazy the workload he's going into with a team that's been a little spotty defensively, and that greatly affects his numbers, but it doesn't mean he's not a really good NHL prospect. So, you know, I just think there's a lot of different situations and they're all unique to these guys. But at the end of the day, just really good goaltenders at this level. And the shooters, at the end of the day, there isn't a huge separation between ECHL shooters and NHL shooters like you would assume. The difference is the way they think the game. And can they string together those tic-tac-toe passing plays? And do you have the defensive support? But in terms of just how well they shoot and how hard they shoot, I feel like a lot of goaltenders at the ECHL level, they'd be like, yeah, I think I could deal with a lot of that if I got a chance in the NHL.
I don't disagree with you. It's funny, too. One last thing before I move on. It's funny because, like, you would know this better than me, but like in the ECHL, when they play 3-4s or 4, whatever it is, 3-3s, it's not the same goalie playing every night, right?
Not usually, but sometimes it is. I've seen a lot of it this year.
What about prospects? Like, what about NHL? Like, are teams riding their AHL or NHL contracted guys back-to-backs?
It can happen. You know, it depends on what the NHL team wants, what the player is comfortable with. I've just seen a lot of different situations. So, you know, to get back to this Fanti situation, you know, they're in Texas. They got 3 games. I never would have imagined that Fanti was going to play 3 games in 3 nights. Their other goaltender, Colton Point, coming off a concussion. They didn't quite feel he was quite ready for game action, but he could back up. Fanti was like, look, I don't mind. I'll play. I'll give it a go, whatever the team needs. And he knew this may not be the best thing for his save percentage and whatnot, but he wanted to play, so he did it. And I think teams do like to see that. But in answer to your question, it's very situational. It really is. I mean, I've seen teams say, no, we don't want him playing that often. I've seen others say, no, get him as much work as humanly possible. So I think it is very situational.
Absolutely. So speaking of, Manalee's played in Allen, and Allen's head coach had what you called a terrific tantrum. But now, you know, before we got on air, you said it wasn't too good. So I want to know what you think. Allen American's head coach, Chad Costello, freaked out over something through his jacket while he's walking off the bench and towards the tunnel, which is like diagonal from the bench. So he's kind of a long walk of shame, so much so that you could put the Curb Your Enthusiasm music there as two players are skating beside him. If you want to check it out, go to Justin's Twitter, and that's at Sports Eye Cone, Sports Eye, and then C-O-H-N. Yeah, interesting situation here. I think it's actually hilarious. I don't know if I've ever seen the blazer spike, if you will. What do you make of that one?
Well, so let's set the scene a little bit, because it does coincide with some things we've mentioned on the show. A guy that we've brought up probably four times, Mikhail Robidoux, plays for Allen, gets suspended all the time. So there is a fracas in the corner between him and Daniel Maggio of Fort Wayne. There are cross checks. Everybody's getting involved. And when it's all sorted out, somehow Fort Wayne has a 4-minute power play. So that's what Chad Costello was angry about. I guess he had a bit of a point, but when you have Mikhail Robidoux, you do kind of reap what you sow. So I'm not shocked that it happened. So he's angry about the way this was adjudicated. And you're right, Amy. He's slamming the door. He's throwing things. He gets tossed. The dry cleaning winds up on the ice, which is funny because I think he was trying to throw it toward the linesman and ended up hitting his own player in the face. And then you're right, like he's walking, doing the walk of shame, and his alternate captain, I think it was Hank Crone or Jack Combs maybe, was carrying his jacket, which was pretty hysterical. So it definitely was entertaining. When you get into disrobing as part of a coach tantrum, everything will always be compared to Greg Pankowitz, who was the Colorado Eagles coach, and this would have been about 12 years ago. And he did like a literal like strip tease. It was taking off articles of his clothing, throwing it onto the ice. Everything will always be compared to that. And of course, his is really compared to Ned Braden from Slapshot, not a coach tirade, but a player tirade. So if you've seen Slapshot, you know, I think all disrobing is sort of compared to that one in hockey. But Chad Costello, very funny, gets a 1-game suspension. I actually personally think that was too much. I think it's great free advertising for the ECHL. He missed half the third period. Give him a fine. I don't really see who was hurt by this, but ECHL punishment. Our friend Joe Ernst obviously didn't like that one. So very, very entertaining. I don't know. Have you seen a better coach tirade? You know, like if I say coach tirade, do you have a favorite?
In hockey? I don't know. I think my favorite tirades are the ones in baseball, honestly, minor league baseball particularly. Those are, like, in my opinion, bar none the best, because the best part for them is they have so many objects to play with. Like, they can go pick up a base, throw it. Didn't a coach once pretend like the ball was a grenade or something? Like he was losing his mind. I think he was in like Pennsylvania. But I think for hockey, we don't usually see the flair that Costello threw in that one, where he's using objects as like kind of insinuated. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, my favorite meltdown. I mean, the NHL, I know it's not the minor leagues, but when Pittsburgh and Philly, and like Tony Granato was standing on the stanchion between like where Ray Ferraro stands, right, and was just like kind of walking a plank at one point, like trying to balance himself while yelling at the other coach. Producer Connor says Rask throwing the milk crate. Yeah, that was a good one. See, that's an all-timer.
See, don't underrate what hockey used to be like before we had that little cubicle between the benches, which is now, you know, often the sideline reporter or the photographer. So I'm old enough.
Live them?
Well, I'm old enough that I remember the era when there was nothing there. And one of my favorite memories was Red Wings Maple Leafs. And the coaches were John Brophy and Jacques Demers. And this isn't really a tirade. This was just two guys that really genuinely hated each other. And they would try to like fight each other through through that little, I guess, the stanchion, the little glass between the benches. I mean, they would jump over it. They would try to hit each other. They were throwing things at each other. So little Justin in 1987 was loving this stuff. So, you know, I think that we really did a disservice by putting people between the benches there, because, you know, there could have been great altercations and tirades.
Absolutely. We're going to stick with Allen here because they're our team of the week, the Allen Americans, the ECHL affiliate of the Ottawa Senators. Since 2015, actually, Ottawa has had five different ECHL affiliates: Evansville, Wichita, Brampton, Gwinnett, which is now Atlanta, and now we're at Allen. Allen's won two Kelly Cups since joining the ECHL in 2014, and since entering the league, they've been affiliated with San Jose, Minnesota, Seattle, and now Ottawa. So the Americans recently created some buzz with the coach, but you know, there's also, they're doing very well this year. And a lot of them aren't just NHL, AHL contracts that are sort of leading the way. But first, let's talk about those guys. So there's two players in the roster that have AHL contracts. That's Zachary Massicotte and Xavier Bernard. What can you tell us about those guys? Let's start with Massicotte.
So, you know, Zach's, he's young. He's only 21. He's out of the queue. Really good two-way defenseman, 6 goals and 15 points. I see him going really above his production from juniors last year. I think he had 18 points last season. Bernard, also a defenseman, a little bit older. He's 23. You can see the upside with him. He was a fourth-round pick of the Devils back in 2018. He's got 8 assists in 17 games this season, so he hasn't played a ton, but he's a big guy. He's 6'4", also out of the queue. He's also got AHL experience. He's more of that prototypical big two-way defenseman who you hope is going to clear out the net in front of your goaltender and maybe chip in a little bit at the other end. So, you know, you can see upside with both of those guys. I really like Massicotte. He's been an opportunistic guy when I've watched him, but all season long, Allen has only had 4 players all season on NHL or AHL contracts. So as much as we talk about some of these teams embracing the affiliation model, sometimes you do see some outliers, and not that it's necessarily Allen's fault that they haven't had a lot of prospect, but they are one of those outliers in terms of the stable of prospects that they've had this year.
Absolutely. How about Bernard? Where does he stack up against him?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, he's the big guy. You know, he's the 6'4" guy that I feel is really, you know, sort of that prototypical guy. And like I said, you know, Devils draft pick. And, you know, I see him being a guy that can make some waves if he gets back to the AHL.
So I should, like, how do you, the two, like, what, like, you know, who has more upside? Sorry, I should have maybe specified that.
Oh, okay. Well, I like Massicotte. You know, he's young. I like what he does offensively. He's going to help you out more on special teams. But, you know, 21, that can be a mixed bag sometimes. Certainly needs some polish to his game. So, but, you know, I like them both, but I very much like Massicotte in terms of his ability to move up, given a little bit more seasoning.
For sure. So, as I kind of mentioned before, a lot of Allen's success has been via some really strong ECHL guys, right? And which is, I don't know, is that a rarity in general? Like, is that, or is, am I maybe naive to think that?
Well, so obviously I'm in Fort Wayne. I sort of make a lot of comparisons between Allen and Fort Wayne in terms of they bounce around to a lot of different affiliates. And I think they have sometimes the challenge in some of these markets is finding the balance between success and developing guys. And in a place like Fort Wayne and a place like Allen, they want winners above all else. And if they can't find the right affiliate to get on the right page with them, sometimes you don't see eye to eye. What they've done is they have built a team with a lot of their guys that clearly Chad Costello knows and trusts, guys that have a great body of work at this level in Europe, a lot of accomplished scorers. So I was surprised that they kind of got off to a slow start. I'm less surprised that they've been playing a lot better lately, because when you look at all these guys, you knew that they had the tools to score a lot of goals, be really good in transition, be really dangerous offensively, all the things that they're doing right now. So they've still got a lot of work to do to make the playoffs, but they look like a team that if they do make the playoffs, they're going to be really scary, because they got all these experienced guys with less worry that some of them are going to be called up at any moment, right, which is one of those things that you like if you're at a place like Allen.
Before I get to the four guys that are highlighting it, is there ever a risk that those guys are going to leap to Europe?
Oh, there's always a risk. So as we record today, you know, this is the...
As of now, right.
Yeah, it's the deadline day. But, you know, I think usually when you go out and sign some of these guys like Colton Hargrove, a guy that we're going to talk about, you you need to be on the same page with them. Like, sure. Do I need to worry about you leaving? Of course, you know, never say never, but hopefully with your nucleus guys, you have compensated them in such a way that right. you don't have to worry about that. And maybe it's some of these lesser guys
sure.
that, hey, I got an offer. I just can't refuse it. I'm going to Germany. See you later. But, you know, there's always a risk. But there's a risk with that with any team. I mean, we saw Hunter Fegis. You know, yeah. he got a friend of the show. You know, he went to Europe just this week. Or so you just never quite know who's going to leave. And sometimes you just can't control it.
Let's get to the four guys that are leading the way for the Island Americans. Let's start with, as you mentioned right now, Colton Hargrove. Let's start with him, the Americans captain.
Yeah, so he's been on fire. 24 goals, 46 points in just 40 games. He is on a 21-game point scoring streak as we record this show.
That's insane.
During that, he's got 32 points, but he is not the only one streaking. I know you're going to bring up some other names, but Hargrove is 30, not the biggest guy. He took off last season after playing a couple seasons in Austria. So just, I mean, he's one of those guys that's savvy. He's going to burn you from everywhere. He's maybe going to lull you into a little bit of a false sense of security. And then you'll, all of a sudden you look at the score sheet at the end of the night and he's got two assists and you've lost by a goal. And he's a big part of that. So really nice player in all facets of the game. And he's got the longest streak in the league all the season.
Speaking of streaks, Jack Combs, 11-game point streak for himself as well.
He's the sniper. You know, I've seen him play with a lot of teams and he will score a lot of goals in high leverage situations. Leads the league right now with 26 goals. He's been doing it forever. He's 35. Again, not big, 6 feet tall. So that's one of the things that you notice with some of these forwards is they are small guys. So they're speedy, they're slithery. But if you could catch them in the right, you know, if you've got speed and size, that might be a way to contain them. But the big thing is you just cannot be caught up high because they'll get you in transition.
And the two other guys are rookies, Hank Crone and Liam Finley. Let's start with Crone.
23 goals, 40 points in just 43 games. I mean, he is a very dangerous player. He's only 5'9". He was a college guy, played at Northern Michigan and at Denver. And Finley, who we're going to talk about in a second, he also played at Denver. So I like these situations where you get guys that have experience playing together because you know you can put them on a line together and they're going to jibe really well. So if you don't mind, I'll just go into Finley. He's the guy I really like. He's only 5'7". He's been pro for 3 years, but is considered a rookie because he played in places like Slovakia, which does not affect your standing as a rookie at the ECHL level. But both those guys, just very opportunistic, very hard to get. They will get you in transition. They will burn you on special teams. They will play like bulldogs down low. So, you know, and just those four guys, offensively, Allen is just so dangerous. And if you sleep on them, they will burn you going the other direction. So really the key is you got to keep the puck down low and you cannot chip in offensively. Because if you do, there's every opportunity that they're going to get a 2-on-1, 3-on-2 rush. Saw that happen a lot last Thursday against Fort Wayne. So, Allen, very dangerous team offensively.
Let's get to our prospect of the week, and that is Beck Worm, 23-year-old goaltender for Cincinnati. 19-6-4 record with an .899 save percentage on an AHL deal with Rochester, but he's playing in Cincinnati now, as I mentioned. Justin, what's the 4-1 on Worm?
He is a goalie that I just love. I think he's, you know, doing really well this year. You know, just very consistent. What I like about him is he's sort of, I feel like he's been underrated his whole career. You go back to how he started in the WHL, started playing when he was 15, got lit up in his first game, which was an 8-1 loss, stayed with Tri-City, was with them for years until 2019-20 when he was traded to the Edmonton Oil Kings, was not drafted in the NHL, impressed at development camp with the Washington Capitals in 2020, ended up with the Chicago Wolves. And for me, that's where it really started to get impressive. I mean, he did some good work in the AHL and, you know, spent, I think, a surprising amount of time in 21-22 with Norfolk, which is, you know, not a real strong team. He was still 7-10-1 with a .912 save percentage. And then His NHL deal was not renewed, so became a free agent this year and landed with the Rochester Americans and now the Cincinnati Cyclones. And I think that is a perfect position for a guy like him, because Cincinnati has such a proven track record in the last, let's say, 10 years of moving goaltenders up to the NHL level with the Buffalo Sabres. We mentioned Michael Hauser. You got Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. He was a guy that we saw a lot of in the ECHL level. So what Buffalo has proved through the years is that they're going to be open-minded to the guys who are sort of in their feeder system. And so if you land in Cincinnati, you know you're going to be seen. And Beck Worm, he's been splitting time with Mark Sinclair, who is a ECHL contracted guy out of, I believe it was Michigan Tech or Northern Michigan. He's looked very good, but that duo, extremely good for what's been, I think, kind of a surprising Cincinnati team. Like, we knew they were going to be good, but they have been battling for, you know, top three position all season long in the division. And, you know, he's been a big part of it. So, you know, I know a long-winded answer, but one thing with Cincinnati is they're going to be very offensively focused. And so you have to have a good goaltender, good, reliable goaltender, because you're playing teams like Toledo, Fort Wayne, Wheeling, that are all going to burn you in transition. And that happens in Cincinnati sometimes, but their goaltending is held up, and he's been a big part of it.
He's only 23, too. Like, that's like the equivalent of like being 20 as a pro, right? You're not, the average age of a goaltender in the NHL, for instance, is 28 years old. So,
yeah,
you know, they take the longest to develop, but they stay the longest there. So, you know, NHL might be far-fetched right now, but in terms of becoming an AHL goaltender, at the very least, he's on the right track for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the goaltenders, they mature a little bit later. I mean, look at Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I mean, it took him a little while, but, you know, Beck Worm, he's got decent size, about 6'1", but, you know, if you watch some interviews with him, I mean, just a really composed, well-thought-out guy. Like, you know, you could tell, like, he really thinks about his game. What do I need to do to improve? And, I mean, I tell you, when Fort Wayne plays him and they played him a decent bit, I'm kind of like, okay, we could be in for the Fort Wayne offense could be in for a tough night, because this guy does not give up a lot of easy goals. And, you know, he's been just one of the strongest guys in the ECHL this year.
We're going to go to Coast to Coast, Justin Cohn's usual news notes and quotes, but we're going to do a little bit different this time. We had a bit of show miscommunication, so I kind of screwed up a bit on this one. But Justin had a really cool idea where we're talking about what constitutes a great hockey name and how many of them do we have in the ECHL.
Well, here's where it started. So I'm watching Allen, yeah, and I'm watching Colton Saucerman, and I'm thinking, I like this name. This seems like a good hockey name to me. Saucerman, you know, like sort of on the cusp of some hockey terminology there, like a saucer pass,
yeah,
where I got a lot of sauce on that shot.
Man.
Right. So I'm sort of laughing about it. And I'm like, well, what the heck do I mean by that, by a good hockey name? And I started tweeting about it. And this is what I sort of settled on. And you tell me if I'm wrong. When we discuss good hockey names, I feel like it's got to either be tough sounding, like you got to have a tough name if you're going to be playing hockey, or incorporate some sort of terminology that we associate with the game.
Sure.
I feel like it's got to roll off the tongue pretty well. Like what?
Johnson or something.
Well, like Zarly Zalapsky. Like, that's one of my all-time favorites. You know, some alliteration helping there. Zarly Zalapsky.
Tough, or like, kind of sounds like a cartoon character. like, tune in now for Zarly's next adventure. But yeah, okay.
Well, and I also feel like you get extra points for a French-Canadian name or a very European name. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So one of the ones that I liked early on was a guy for the Indy Fuel, which is Coltrane Wilson. But then a friend of mine from high school, very long time friend, Marla Garfield, who I didn't know even followed me on Twitter, was like, no, that's not a hockey name. Coltrane Wilson, that's a minor league baseball pitcher. And she stopped me in my tracks. Like, I'm like, She's right. Like, that sounds like, you know, Nuke Lelouch out of Bull Durham, something like that. So I don't know. I to me, hockey name, it's got to be tough. It's got to have hockey terminology, be very French Canadian, be very European, or roll off the tongue. Or if you get all of the above, that's great. So let me just give you a couple of my great all-time hockey names. You tell me if I'm on the right track, and then we can talk about ECHL names. So I already said Zaroy Zalapsky. Jeff Bookaboom.
Great name.
Right? I don't know why this is a hockey name. It just is, but Dale Hawerchuk. Right. Well, and in the ECHL, by the way, we have a Hawerchuk this season, just should be noted.
Ben, so, right?
Yes, yes, Ben Hawerchuk. His son. Darren Rumble. So I feel like that's tough. That's a guy that's going to go fight somebody, right? Darren Rumble. Darren Poopa. And
Hold up. You're here telling me about how, like, oh, those names will be tough and stuff, and you drop a Darren Poopa.
You're right.
Zaroy Zalapsky. He's like, is this Paw Patrol?
Wait, do you even know these guys? Or are you so
young? No, you think he'd be fake for all I know.
So wait, so you hang on. You're so young that you don't know who Darren Poopa is.
No.
Okay, I'm gonna have to absorb that for the next year.
I'm like, I just had my bar mitzvah last week.
What about Ron Tugnut? Do you know Ron Tugnut?
Hey, you're making these up. You and Connor.
These are serious names. How do you not know these guys? Look them up. These are like all-time great players. Okay, well, my favorite.
How do you spell poop up, by the way? It's like poo?
Okay, it's Darren with one R and P-U-P-P-A.
Okay.
Buffalo Sabres legend, Darren Poopa. All right, my favorite of all time, I've decided, is Håkan Lube. Håkan Lube. Yeah. Like he's Håkan Lube. Like, you've never heard of him either.
No.
The Calgary Flames legend, Håkan Lube. Yes. So that's falling under the European name, I think.
Probably.
All right. So, all right. I feel like I've stunned you with some of these names. These are all legitimate NHL hockey player names. So here's what I got for my ECHL list. You tell me how you feel about it.
Okay.
At number 10, I have Chaz Redekop of the South Carolina Stingrays.
I like it.
So we got a Chaz and we got a Redekop. We got just rolls off the tongue.
But his nickname is Copy in the dressing room.
It's so many possibilities for nicknames with him. I'm not sure why I like this, but the Toledo Walleyes, Conlon Keenan. I think it's I sort of have like he sounds intelligent Keener. and he's like maybe he's related to Mike Keenan. I don't know. The Savannah Ghost Pirates have Darian Skioch, Skeoch. Darian Skioch.
I like it.
All right. How about Greenville? I don't know if this is a great hockey name or just a great name. Lord Anthony Grissom.
That should be number one.
It's funny because I know three guys named Lord Anthony. There's a basketball player.
That's a power move, hey?
There's a referee in basketball, in professional basketball.
Wait, but quick thing, Justin. If you name your kid Lord, that's a power move. Like, you're setting the kid up for success.
But it's one word, Lord Anthony.
Oh my gosh, never mind.
It's not a middle name. It's Lord Anthony is the
name. Oh my god.
All right. The Wheeling Nailers have Cedric Desrousseaux. I'm not like even gonna, not even gonna try and spell it for you. Cedric Desrousseaux. If you ever hear DJ Abasela, their broadcaster, say his name, it's a thing of beauty. Colton Saucerman, we already mentioned.
Love it.
My top four names. The Fort Wayne Comets have Jacob Graves.
That's your number four?
Known as the Grave Digger, yes.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
You like that for your number one, don't you?
I like that.
At number three of your Reading Royals, Alec Butcher. You like Graves more.
No, but Butcher kind of checks off all the boxes you named.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like it.
I feel like I'm going to think twice about going hard into the corner if Alec Butcher is waiting for me.
Yeah, the Butcher.
At number two, I have Easton Brudzinski. So we got a good hockey name, Easton. Like,
yeah.
I want you to know that when we thought we might have a son, I was pitching Easton as a name, and my wife was having none of it. She was like, you can't name your kid after a piece of hockey equipment.
When I have a kid, I'm going to name it CCM.
What I really wanted was Eastwood. I was going to name my kid Eastwood. But CCM Stoller sounds like a rapper to me. all right. So my number one, I cheated a little bit. I have a tie, but they're related. So I think it's allowed. From the Atlanta Gladiators, I went with Josh and Dalton Thrower.
Yeah. Dalton Thrower. He played for the Blades, I think.
Well, here's why I like them. I feel like the name fits because they fight. Josh has 13 fights in the last two seasons. Dalton has 4. So I feel like you got to be ready to go out and throw with the Thrower brothers.
They have all their teeth?
That I don't know. But an honorable mention here for the best, for the all hockey name team would be the Kalamazoo Wings, because they have the following players: Matheson Iacopelli, Tyler Rockwell, Ole Julian Borvik Holm, and I thought there was another one, but I guess Darby Llewellyn. I also like that name. So some others that didn't quite make the list for me: Keegan Houdeshell, Marc Olivier Duquette, Cole Stallard, the Craggs brothers, Sam and Lucas Craggs, Brendan Sousse of Trois-Rivières, Vladislav Mikhalchuk, Strauss Mann, Jackson Leopard, Bodie Wild, Coltrane Wilson, and the last one I will give you is Shaw Boomhauer. That might be my favorite, but he's not currently on a roster, so I couldn't include him.
Let's get, I'm sure fans listening have some amazing names too that either we're forgetting or that are historical. So be sure to tweet them at Sports Icon. You can also tweet me too at JL Staller. But let's get those favorite names out, because I'm sure we're missing some. But what I will say to end it off is, have you ever seen the list of like the WHL drafted players like last year or recently, like the first names?
I have not.
Because if it's any indication of what's to come, I think there's some better names that are on the horizon. In 2020, here are some of the first names of players drafted. Bauer, Boston. Where's the other one that's insane? Fox with two X's. Job, J-O-B.
Wait. Fox is a first name with two X's?
Yeah.
What's his last name?
I don't know. It's just someone just gathered all the cool names. One of them is Job. One of them is Van. So I think we're on a
wait,
path.
Did you say Job, J-O-B?
Yeah, Job.
It's probably Job, just to be clear. No,
that's for sure, Job. Job.
All right. Well, your task for the next week is to dial up some clips of Hawk and Lube and Ron Tugnutt. That's your text. You need to educate yourself on the great names of hockey players from the 80s and 90s.
I'll do that if you buy me a Tugnutt jersey.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. If you play your cards right, I might actually do that.
Just kidding. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I hope you learned a little bit about our hockey dictionary, which Justin has authored this week. We'll be sure to add to it. So yeah, again, tweet at Justin at Sports Icon on Twitter. Tell us your favorite names, the ECHL minor league hockey. We'll be sure to feature them with the responses we get. But until next time, guys, we're going to end it off there. Thanks for tuning in.